battle. You see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain moved. And as I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Take Your Power Back Governor's Showdown. Tonight, we make history and take our California back. Introducing your Governor's Showdown chief visionary and host, Kim Yater, with moderators Dr. Douglas G. Frank and Laura Logan, and our sponsor and our co-MC, Mr. Dan Ball. Please welcome our 2026 California governor candidates to the stage.
And Doug Frank on the end, I see you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. This is your night. It is about the power being back in your hands. We the people's hands. So welcome to the Take Your Power Back California Governor Showdown. Are you ready to showdown? Oh, yeah. So good. All right. We're going to introduce to you our candidates who are running for governor of the great state of California. Dan Ball, are you with me?
I'm here. How are you?
I feel like we're so far.
Hi. Should we just come together?
I know. We kind of need to get a little closer.
Okay. How about it's ladies first? Why don't you intro our candidates tonight?
Oh, I'm so excited.
You take the first half, I'll do the second
half. All right, first half, and I'm going to walk this way. Now, first candidate up is, where is he? Leo Zucchi!
Get it, Leo!
Woo-hoo! And our second, I'm going to send you right back to your spot, but I love it. He just walked the runway. How great was that? Did he do an excellent job? He certainly did. He certainly did. Our next governor
candidate. Leo's trying to make it the Leo show.
Pastor Cheon! And our third candidate up is David Kellenberg! And for David Serpa! And Jim Evans! Daniel!
Rounding out the rest of our candidates, Lewis Herms. Lewis, step forward, please. Greta Solarzano. Greta, step forward, please. Steve Hilton. Mr. Hilton. Leo Naranjo. Leo, step forward. Scott Shields. Where are you at, Scott? There he is. And finally, but not least, Ryan Tillman. Ryan!
These, my friends, are your 2026 gubernatorial candidates. They were willing to stand in the gap to take our California back. Pretty amazing? Yes! Now, are you ready for an amazing showdown tonight? These guys are ready to bring it. They're going to be under rapid fire. But before we get there, I got to tell you something. You guys look really good. I see that you guys are pretty fired up about being here. The encouragement is incredible. This is what it's going to take this incredible state back. Because it's up to us. We, the people. Right. Yes? Yes. All right. Now, some of you have been asking me, why is Sheriff Bianco not in the house? Has that been a question on your mind today? Candidates, has that been on your mind?
Elephant
why is Sheriff Bianco
room.
Not here? Live streamers, are you asking why Sheriff Bianco's not here? Well, I will let you know that we actually scheduled him to be here months ago. We actually moved the date for Sheriff Bianco to be here. Unfortunately, Sheriff Bianco has declined. Now, if you have not seen the interviews that we've done at the Take Your Power Back show, then you need to go see them. I've had the honor and privilege of interviewing every single one of these candidates that are here tonight, as well as Sheriff Bianco. So here's the deal. These are the candidates that are standing in the gap to take our California back. So this is not about Sheriff Bianco. It's about these candidates right here in the house. So Dan.
Yes, ma'am.
We've got quite a night tonight. Are you
we
ready
do.
For this? So check
There's
this
so
out.
Many I'm people here. We have to actually split the field up, folks.
Yes.
So, I'm going to take half of them with a minute, and we're going to go back to the media
You
center.
Certainly are. So
okay.
This is what we're going to do. I'm
yes.
going to walk you guys through what it looks like. But can I have to take my glasses off? I see you, Urson. Hi. Okay. I see amazing warriors in this house. It's so good. All right. We've got a clock on the back wall. It is called our timer. And we have something called a bell. The bell lets us know when a candidate is done with their 1 minute, 2 minute, or 30 second. Josiah, will you play that bell? Oh, come on, is that awesome? Wait, one more time. Oh, yeah, now we got it.
And
Fantastic.
They will have to shut up then. There's no talking after
no talking.
The bell. You guys got that, right? All
you guys
the candidates.
Got that, yes?
No
yes,
talking
yes,
after the bell.
Yes.
I know Laura very well, and Laura will not let you get in an extra word. So
she will not.
Stick to your time and then zip it.
That's right. So we're going to have three rounds tonight. That's right. The first round will have seven of the candidates. So we're going to start a little heavy. And I'll bring those candidates forward in just a moment. The second round will be six of the candidates. Well, what are we going to do about a third round? We're bringing them all to the table. One of you is the lucky winner. Remember Willy Wonka, the golden ticket? Remember? Well, somebody in this audience has a golden ticket randomly chosen. And the entire lineup tonight, when we go round one and round two, is also randomly chosen. So I want you to know that Willy Wonka ticket is somebody in this audience. One person will be able to ask any candidate. It could be. You just don't know. They'll have 2 minutes to answer that question. Then the rest of the candidates will go 30-second rapid fire. You want to know how these candidates do under fire? Tonight, you're going to learn. All right, Dan, I think we're getting close. You're calling out the first six candidates. What do you think?
Let's also remind folks, too, that we're live streaming, right, Kim? So people are watching from home. It's
yes.
not just you here in the audience. So let's have good participation tonight. Get into it. Get loud. Okay, we're trying to save this once golden state. We're trying to bring her back.
That's right. It is time to take our California back. All right, candidates, are you ready to show down?
Oh, yeah.
Try that one more time. Hey,
candidates. Are you ready
are you
to
running
show
for governor?
Down?
Are you running for governor?
Yeah.
Okay. Act like it.
That's what I'm talking. All right, fantastic. Audience, are you ready for the showdown? Six, step forward. Pastor Cheyenne. David Serpa. Daniel Mercury. Lewis Herms. Steve Hilton. Scott Shields. Excellent. Our first round of candidates here are going to begin in the media room. and we're not going light on these guys. They are in rapid fire sessions in the media room. So, Dan, you ready to take them out?
Let's go, guys. Let's get out of here.
Take them out. Just take them down.
We're going to go this way.
All right, here we go, candidates. Let's give them a round of applause. All right. So, this is your first round of candidates for the Take Your Power Back California Governor Showdown. We have with us Ryan Tillman, Leo Naranjo, Greta Solorzano, Kobe Markham, Jim Athens, David Kallenberg, and Leo Zaki. And a big hats off to our warrior moderators in the house. I get to stand next to Lara. Did I say that right? Lara Logan. They've all been working with me. She's amazing. When I grow up, I want to be like Lara, just so y'all know. She's amazing. And we've got Dr. Douglas G. Frank in the house. Now, these guys aren't messing around. You've got an independent journalist who is shaking up the world. She is the unwoke Barbara Walters of our time. That's Lara Logan. Dr. Douglas G. Frank is our world-renowned physicist, exposes election fraud in 48 states. Do you know he had something to do with making the bowling ball? He's amazing. All right, so Doug, would you please take your seat? Lara, would you please take your seat? Candidates, would you please turn and take your seats? We're about to begin.
Much, Kim, Doug. First, I just want to say that I know it takes a lot to be here and be out in public, so I think that we should acknowledge that all of the candidates have made themselves vulnerable and given up their time and everything, so I just want to say thank you to them. So they don't have a lot of time for these questions. There are so many issues facing us as a nation today. And particularly in California. So Doug and I had, we talked about this, and it's difficult to narrow it down. But I think we came up with some things that are at the heart of what is troubling us as a nation right now. So it's a little bit unfair on Ryan because he doesn't have as much time as the others to think about the question. But my first question to all of you is, what is the biggest problem with the GOP in the state of California today?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, my time has already started, so I have to be quick. I'll tell you, I went to the GOP convention in March, and unfortunately, when I walked into that room, I could recognize that we are continuing to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. We have to be able to appeal to all of Californians and not just one side of Californians. I grew up in a Democratic household. And my parents were great. They worked hard. But as I started getting older, and as I became a police officer for 13 years, as I became a business owner, and as I started to see what was plaguing our state, I realized that we need somebody that can appeal to all of Californians, and not just a Democratic California, not just a Republican California, not just a young California, but all Californians. So I think the biggest problem with the GOP is we are doing the same thing. We are looking for the same people as opposed to going out there and finding the people in the middle, finding the young audience, finding even the people on the left. Yes, believe it or not, the people on the left. You see, most of us, we all struggle with the same issues. We have to start fighting for the issues to bring our California back.
Very good.
First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, I'm running for the citizens of this state. That's a wonderful question. As far as the GOP party goes, I too went to one of their conventions here this past September. But I've been witnessing California's demise since I've been a soldier in the military back in the 1980s. I looked at overseas, and I was reading what was happening to my state when I was serving. And I served for 10 years overseas in Germany, in Kuwait, and in places like Fort Stewart, Georgia. What I see is a party that unfortunately has embraced mediocrity. They've embraced failure. They've embraced excuses of why we can't move forward, how we always seem to be just that little bit closer to winning, and we never get there. My candidacy is all about changing that mentality and changing that effort. I'm the candidate that's looking for victory. I'm the candidate that's looking for a win and to change how people look and feel about the Republican Party in this state. I'm not just running for Republicans. I am running for all the citizens of this state, regardless of party. We cannot go anywhere as a party solo. We have to include others in our race forward.
Excellent.
Okay, that is hard to follow. My name is Greta Solorzano, and I am happy to be here. One of the most difficult things that I see with the GOP is that we keep picking the same type of people, people who are in one extreme or the other, but not the ones that can bring us together. As a candidate for governor of California, one of the candidates that want to bring dreams of bringing the Democrats and the Republicans together, men and women working together to develop a infrastructure that revives the economy of California. So I think the GOP needs to look at the people who are in the middle and the people who bring something different to the table, not the typical politicians.
That is Greta Solorzano. Gobi.
Hi, I'm Kobe J. Markham. The California GOP does not care about you. They do not care about you. You have explicitly expressed your frustration and your distrust in them with the digital voting at the conventions by the delegates. And what did they tell you? They told you to pound sand. They said, get lost, don't worry about it. We are bigger than you, we are stronger than you. Follow our lead. The only problem is a major lack of winning. Where is the winning? We are not winning here in California. And the GOP right now is disenfranchising you. They do not acknowledge that we hear every single candidate on this stage right now, in their minds, we don't exist. They don't talk to you about us. They pretend that we don't exist. They should have been hosting this event, but we're having to fill the gap. They don't care about you.
Cody, Jim.
So hi, yeah, my name is Jim Athens, and I think the greatest challenges to the Republican Party are the same ones that affect us secularly. It's the same voices, it's the same conversation, and I think we stand in jeopardy of losing that righteousness, that righteous stance that we have within the Republican Party. I think that we're in jeopardy of losing our pro-life stance, our anti-abortion stance in this party. You know as well as I do, there are voices. And I have a pro-life pledge that you all are welcome to sign. I'm going to ask all the candidates to sign with me. There's a few candidates that are not pro-life that are running for governor in this state, and Steve Hilton is one of them. And I intend to point that out. Take a stand for righteousness.
Thank you, Jim.
Amen.
David Kallenberg.
My name is David Kallenberg. I'm a Siskiyou County farmer. The Republican Party is dead. I watch a lot of videos online, and there's just no energy in these meetings anymore, and the politicians have just taken over and killed the whole vibe of everything. And it's time that people like us in this room take back over and bring this party back to life. And there's a lot of work to do, and we can do it. We just got to all unite and make it happen.
Thank you, David. Leo Zaki.
Well, I've been to a lot of GOP events. I've been running for office here for a couple of years, and it's very hard as an outsider to get involved in it. And the party wants to keep it that way intentionally. They don't want your independent voice in there because they got the boys club already set up, and they're making tons of money on it. They have kept us out. They keep changing the rules internally in the party when it comes to voting. When we want to actually bring in good outside people, they change the proxy laws. They do all sorts of really shady stuff inside of these election halls. I've been a part of this. I've seen it happen, and it's disgusting. Again, there's no future planning when it comes to how do we move forward, where our messaging is dog water, as the kids would say. It's not working. We have a lot of good, young, motivated youth, but again, it's this gatekeeper mentality, how they keep the real grassroots out, and our voices aren't being heard. They're not driving anybody to the polls. You can look at the Republican voter turnouts in the state. You guys, we are not getting the galvanization we need from the party.
Excellent. Thank you, Leo. That is the first question complete. Dr. Douglas G. Frank, round two, and then we'll pick it up with Leo.
Well, thank you, Kim. Great. You have a great sheriff up there in Siskiyou. I've met with him recently. He's a great guy. Up there, they blew up all the dams. I don't know what's wrong with him up there, but anyway. The LA Times calls me the Johnny Appleseed of election integrity because I've been traveling all over the country analyzing elections and working on election reform all over the country. Yeah, exactly. I've given over 1,000 presentations and analyzed the voter rolls and the outcomes all over the place. You should see my email today after the election, you know, last week or this week. Anyway, I can tell you across the country, our elections are a disaster and California is among the worst. Okay. And about 2 out of 3 people in your voter rolls are real voters. And the other third, you're just mailing ballots into the wind. And what are you going to do with that, right? That's sort of a disaster. So you gentlemen and lady, how do you expect to win in an election landscape like that? That's a big question. And if you do get elected, which God may give us a miracle, and he's good at that. He's in the miracle business. If you do get elected, what do you plan to do about it?
Well,
2 minutes.
Yes, we have a lot of election integrity issues here in the state. The voter rolls are hyperinflated. We know all the host of the issues, but the time for change is ripe right now here in California. Everybody out there, Democrat, Independent, and Republican alike, all can identify the key foundational issues that impact all of us. So the plan is to move forward, showing everybody a pathway to victory and success here in California. We can do this. We have all the resources at our disposal that we are not utilizing. Legislature gets in the way, and it drives business out, and it drives people and families out of the state. I mean, think about it. How many of you in this room tonight have thought about leaving California or have a friend or a loved one that has? Look around. This is unbelievable. So many. I mean, it's nearly 75%. This is because California isn't after helping the people right now, and that's why the people recognize that that change needs to happen, and they're ready to vote for a Republican. So focusing on the key foundational issues is my goal. We can create water here in California by building new reservoirs and using desalinization, using hydroelectric energy. We can have small modular nuclear power. There are so many tools. We have oil that we're not utilizing. We have to bring in additional revenue streams into California. That way we can do away with this tax situation. We can open up business again in California, mitigate these ridiculous wildfires that are destroying the state, make us an insurable state again. There are so many key fixes, but it's about showing the people a path forward. And so when I do get elected, we will make sure that our election integrity issues are crushed, but I'm going to need a really good Secretary of State to help me do that, and I'm going to definitely need the help of the federal government and folks like you to be active, get involved in the election process. We need poll watchers. We need all hands on deck for this because it's up to us to save this republic. It's in our hands, folks, and the world is watching, and so is the rest of the country. And I look forward to working with all of you and making this a reality. Thank you.
There's Leo Zaki.
Do you want me to repeat the question?
One more time, Doug. Please repeat the question.
I think, Dr. Frank, you just need to clarify that the question is specifically
about elections.
Election integrity and stolen elections, yes, and
yes.
The massive fraud that is rampant in California.
Exactly. So, once again, how do you expect to win in such an environment, such a climate? You know, what are you gonna do? How are we gonna get rid of the machines, et cetera, et cetera? What is your plan? And if you do get elected, how are we gonna fix it? Two parts there, buddy. What are you gonna do now? What are you gonna do then?
David Kallenberg.
Well, first off, right now, Carl DiMaio is putting out petitions for voter ID to get it on the ballot in 2026. So everybody needs to get out and sign that petition. Let's make it happen. We have to empower voters and get everybody to vote and get more voters and get everyone involved. And all these grassroots people need to be involved together to make this happen. And we can do it. Once somebody's in power, once one of these great men that's here is in power, we can try to change this and make it happen if it doesn't happen in 2026 with the initiative on the ballot. But when it does come on the ballot, you guys need to get out and vote for it. And we need to make it happen so we don't have to worry about it once we're in office. But we can do it. We can make it happen. We all just have to unite. We have to tell our friends, family, and everybody, and get our young generation involved. They're not really actively involved. I've been to a lot of town hall meetings. There's not a lot of young voters. We need all those young voters. And we can do this. We can make it happen.
That's David Kallenberg. Jim Athens. All right.
So short of just tightening up the system, I had the privilege of going with Joe Rykoff of Make California Great Again, and we went over to, oh, I forget the delegate's name, but we went over to a voting place that was, they were going to receive the votes for Proposition 50, and we went through the whole thing, and I got to supervise, and it was so cool. And it looks like a pretty tight ship to me. We just need to pay attention to the details. That's I don't know all the details on that particular topic. My area of expertise is this. We have lost our identity in the state of California. We don't know who we are anymore. We need to energize the voting base. We need to energize the people to get out and vote. You know, Donald Trump was talking about too big to rig, and we don't know who we are anymore. We've been they, we've been them, we've been he, we've been she, we've been transgender, we've been binary, you know, and our streets are a state of controlled anarchy. And can we get that under control? Can we let righteousness rain down, you know, like a mighty shower? Can we do that in this state? And can we motivate people to stand for what they believe in, right? And all the rest of these things are going to fall into place when we get good men in there overseeing these institutions. Thank you.
Jim Athens. Kobe Markham.
Thank you. I'm a man of structure and framework. We're going to spend 60 seconds on the first question and 60 seconds on the second question.
Attaboy.
The first question is, how do you get elected in the current environment? I am advocating for a purple California. I know that there's people in this room who might be against that. But in order to win in the current environment, a candidate needs to get Democrats to vote for them, even though they are a Republican. I am a centrist. I'm a constitutionalist and a man of faith. And when I say I extend my arm across the aisle, I extend my entire body. I love Democrats.
But how are, how are you going to get elected if the machine's rigged and the vote's rigged? This is a question about election integrity.
Okay. So if Democrats vote for me and then they're not counting the Democrat votes that are voting for me is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying that you have a massive problem. Your elections are rigged. There's fraud rampant throughout your entire system. You have illegal immigrants who are voting in the hundreds of thousands. You have dead voters. You have machines that nobody can read code. You have a massive problem.
Yes.
50 seconds.
Shiloh Marks is currently working on purging the
vote. Do you believe Gavin Newsom got 60% of the recall vote? I mean, come on.
Okay. Shiloh Marks is currently purging our voter systems by working. If I get elected by working with ICE and facilitating ICE in deporting illegal aliens, not undocumented immigrants, but illegal aliens who are enrolling in the voter rolls in California and voting illegally in elections, they're disenfranchising you. That helps you. I'm also interested in distributed ledgers, which is a cryptocurrency methodology that makes immutable ledgers that nobody can audit, nobody can modify. Thank you.
All right, there's Kobe Markham. Greta Solorzano.
Okay, I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to do the same thing that Trump did. We're going to have to win big. And I think I'm one of those candidates. What we need to do is we need to bring the right and the left together. And we need to have somebody who has the ability to deliver. The idea is to give back a affordable California. Kids need to have hopes. We need to create hope. And I think we're going to bring men and women together from the Republican and the Democrat.
But again, the question is about election integrity.
I think the only way that that is going to happen is if we really win big. And the only way to win big is if we bring the right and the left together. And for that, they're looking for a candidate that can actually deliver, a candidate that can actually make California great again. And we're going to do that by bringing oil into the system, bringing nuclear power into the system again. We're going to develop the infrastructure. One of the greatest things that we did during the Great Depression is we actually developed the infrastructure. We invested in the infrastructure. If we invest in the infrastructure of California right now, we're going to bring jobs.
I know, and I'm going to remind you, you have to address the question, which is what would you do if elected?
That's what people
How
need.
Will you fix your elections?
The only way that we're going to fix it is you have to give people a candidate that has the ability to actually deliver. And I think when you see what we have accomplished, I have 30 years of experience in the energy business. And during those years, I was able to solve the most difficult problems in the infrastructure of the energy. And I did that by coming out with very unique, special innovative solution. I think if we put in front of people a candidate that has the ability to solve problems instead of putting a politician that the only thing that can do is make promises, empty promises.
Greta Solorzano and Leo Naranjo.
Could you repeat the question for me?
The question is, how do you get elected in an environment in which the entire voting system is fraudulent and rigged against you? And if you were elected, what would you do to fix it?
First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, we have all different types of ages here that's represented, and everybody has done one of the following. You've purchased a weapon, you've got into a house, you purchased a vehicle, you purchased alcohol. What did you have to show in order to make these purchases? ID. If you have a lottery ticket today, and the lottery is going to be held on Friday, how do you know if you won? Because they tell you on Friday. Why can't we do that here on a voting system? Why do we have machines that we have to use? And I understand we have to use machinery, but why is that code specifically only to the people that made the machine? And that's wrong. If you're going to have voting elections here in California and you're going to make machines that we're being forced to utilize, then you're going to give up the code so that we know what you're doing, how you're doing it, and when these things get checked.
So that sounds like part two of the question. What about part one?
Part one of the question, how we're going to go
about... How are you going to get elected when you have to use the machines?
We have to use the machine. We need to have individuals understand that when we clean out the voting rolls on one hand, we're not going to turn around and put them right back to where they were before. We need to change those laws that say when these get purged, they're going to be purged once every 6 months, 9 months, once a year at least, and they're going to stay clean. If we don't have clean rolls, then we're going to take those individuals to task. I'm not talking about accountability. I'm talking about responsibility. You better have your stuff there, or you're going to pay the piper for failing to do so. We need to have election integrity here in this state. It's going to be clean, and if we have to roll it all the way back to start from ground zero, then we're going to take it to the paper ballot, one vote, one person, one day, and that's how we're going to do it.
Nice. Ryan Tillman.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm here to tell you that if we lose this election this year, it's because we lost it. Californians are tired. I almost moved out of the state with my family because of how tired we are of it. So yes, you're right. We need voter ID. But the only way to get voter ID is you need a seat at the table. That comes back to question one, which is how do we get there? I'm telling you now, if every single Republican voted for one person, we would still lose in a landslide because we have to be able to appeal to moderates and we have to be able to appeal to Democrats. How do you do that? You have to make people excited to vote for you. It's 2025, it's not 1995. I speak at schools all across the country and these kids are ready, but you know what they don't know? They're not educated on politics. I built a business bridging the gap between law enforcement and the community, and I was only able to do that through education. So to answer your question, we have to, number one, get behind a candidate. General Flynn said in the video before we walked out here is we have to unite. We have to be on a team. I played Division I college football. So at some point, we have to align with one another in order to win this election. But we need the right person. We need the right person that can speak to the middle, the right person that can speak to the left, the right person that can speak to the younger audience. And when we do that, we will win this election. I promise you we will win this election. And when we win this election, we will have a seat at the table to fix that election integrity and start fixing those machines and going back to mail-in ballots and going back to showing up in person or getting rid of the mail-in ballots and going into showing people that we can do this on our own. We do have a lot of technology that we can use, and I'm sorry I'm passionate, but I'm passionate because I want our state back. I want the state of California back as much as you guys do. We shouldn't have to leave here. Nobody ever left California because it's an ugly state. They lose it because we've lost the quality of life in the state of California. So we need to get behind somebody that can win everybody over and not just the Republican Party over. And when we do that, my friends, we will have better days ahead of us in California. I guarantee it.
I wanted to point out, by the way, that you guys have Clint Curtis sitting out there. Stand up, Clint. He's the ROV of Shasta County, California.
Clint Curtis, Shasta County. Thank you for being here, Clint.
And I would recommend to all these candidates that they interview him to find out how to run your elections. Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Fantastic. Okay.
I would second that suggestion, Frank.
All right. We just made it through the first two questions. We're going to move into our third question. Lara, that will be with you. And we're going to work from the inside out right now. We're going to work this way, and then we're going to work this way. So we'll take that mic this way. And Lara, let's have you begin with your question.
So we have a dramatic problem in the United States of America in that our food supply is under attack. Ranchers, particularly in the state of, not just in the state of California, but it's particularly relevant here because agriculture and ranching is under assault. And there's a water issue. Ranchers are forced to pay for water that they don't get. There's an overregulation issue. There's a climate scam hoax issue. Green policies are devastating the state. California is the breadbasket of the United States of America, and you have psychotic so-called environmentalists who are taking a tiny little fish called the Delta smelt and trying to pretend that that's a reason to divert the water from the Sierra Madre Mountains into the ocean without letting it fertilize the land. And I would like to know from each one of you your position on the green policies that are destroying this state, what you're prepared to do about it. I want the top three things, the first three things that you would do to restore family farms, to break the monopolies of the food packing industry, and to ensure that our food supply is not controlled by the World Economic Forum and all these other psychopaths in the global cult.
Fantastic. 2 minutes, Jim Appens.
So I think that when we begin to solve the water situation here, it's going to be far-reaching, and because it affects not only the crops and the agriculture, but it affects the cattle industry as well. And many people that are in one industry are also in the other. I can't remember the name, but there's almond growers that are also large cattlemen in this state. So beginning to address that, I tell you, running for governor, I got out the smartphone, I got the smart TV, and I looked at the problem for several days, and I wanted to have some answers for this state, and I can tell you, it's a mess. That was the solution I came up with. But I think along the way,
Jim, that's not a solution.
No, not the solution. That
we
was
need
the,
three. Give
right,
us three.
Okay. But I think along the way we can solve a lot of little problems, such as desalinization for every small town along the coast. Santa Barbara gets 30% of their water.
The poverty is in the Central Valley, not the coast.
What's that?
The poverty is in the Central Valley, not the coast.
But Lara, aren't you able to put the pieces together? If we are getting waters for the coast, we can use more for the Central Valley. It's just simple math. So I would begin to start there. It's a big problem, but some hands-on solutions. I think desalinization is one of them.
Let's blow up some more dams. That'll fix it.
All right, Jim, thank you. David Kallenberg.
Well, this is my expertise. So first thing we need to do is we need to end the emergency drought regulations that's in place, because with that, you can't drill a new well in California.
Hold the mic close, brother.
Second, we need to get rid of all the unelected officials in the state water board. And we need to do the same to the California Air Resource Board. So by doing that, you bring back farmers' water stability, you bring back cheaper cost of trucking because it's not overregulated, and that's gonna secure our food supply by protecting those people. And
what about the meat packers and the monopolies?
So a lot of those big meat packers aren't in California. Cargill and all of them are in other states. So I produce meat. We need a lot more farmers in California producing meat and selling meat to compete with them and get rid of that competition and bring it back to the farmers and get rid of the middlemen, because there's too many middlemen making too much money in between us and the packer. So.
All right, thank you, David Kallenberg. Leo Zaki.
These environmental regulations are insane, and we've already figured that part out. So we have to do away with them. I have a background in agriculture. You guys are familiar with Zaki Farms out there? Okay, that's me and my family. I got to be a part of that. We were headquartered in the Central Valley, so very familiar with the poverty situation out there. We need to have water. I mean, without the water, there's no crops, and we can do this by my Water Abundance Project, where we go and we build reservoirs throughout the state to collect the rainwater. We can build dams in our Sierra Nevadas to capture and harness the snowpack and utilize that as it moves downhill with hydroelectric. Obviously, we can dam up our concreted rivers in our metropolitan areas as well to get water that way, and build purification plants, and then desalinization on the coast coupled with small modular nuclear reactors. CEQA is a big problem. It's preventing a lot of growth for anybody. I mean, not just in agriculture, but I mean, it impacts everybody. For me, we had a very difficult time when it needed to. We expand operations. You know, the eco-friendly guys wanted to have, you know, more square footage for the birds. So when you double the square footage, you half your output, and it's a big problem. We were the largest privately owned employer in the state of California, largest poultry producers on the West Coast. We had 4,000 employees. I mean, we had our own fleet of trucks, but then things like CARB come into effect, and that limits our ability to have good, you know, effective logistics. You know, obviously the fuel's through the roof. It's insane what's going on. Am I missing a part of the question here?
Top three. Well, no, you've answered it. You
pose that question.
Laura and I sweat this one out. This is personal to us. We both did the Rev 17 conference in June. We both spoke
that
at that.
That was amazing.
We raised $4 million.
Yes, that's right.
In 2 days. I see you, Mr. Kennedy. We raised $4 million for a new facility there to treat children that have been formerly sex trafficked. I'm pretty excited about it. And so I wrote a question, and then Laura beat me up and made it more hard-hitting. Are you ready? Are you ready, guys?
Don't mess it up, Frank.
Okay.
Doug.
It's all right. The United States sex trafficking industry is number one in the world, illustrating the extent of our depravity. Our country is now spending more on raping little children than we are on illegal drugs. Our government schools are grooming our children for consumption, and our laws are empowering the government to take away parental rights from our children. First, how big of a problem do you think this is? Second, what are you currently doing to address it? I hate it when politicians say...
Great question.
I hate it when politicians say, if you elect me, I will blank. What are you doing now? And third, if you are elected governor, what do you plan to do about it?
David.
Wow, that's a powerful question.
Thanks, Laura. It was very powerful.
So one of my biggest campaign things that started this is our children are number one most important.
Bring that mic up a little closer to you.
I have 6 children. And
attaboy.
They mean the world to me. And what is happening in this country is disgusting. And people need to be held accountable. We need to fund our law enforcement to be able to make these people be held accountable. And they need to be punished to the full extent of the law. And if that means going to prison, that's where they're going. So we need to make crime punishable again. And these people have been getting away with way too much crazy stuff. And it's time for that stuff to end. Currently, I protect my children at all costs. I make sure that every moment of their life, I know what they're doing, where they're at, and who they are around, and make sure, because any person, they could be the normalest person in the world, could be the biggest creep you've ever met. So it's very important to know who your children are hanging around. It's important to know, so I protect my children at all costs. You know, our schools, it's crazy what our schools are being allowed to do. We need to quit indoctrinating our kids with all the political BS, all the transgender BS, all the stuff that goes on. It's time that stuff stops. And if I'm governor, I'm going to make sure that all that stuff stops and these people are held accountable for their actions.
Excellent. Thank you, David. Greta Solorzano.
Okay, so that one is a big one. We do have a lot of problem with sexual trafficking. And I think one of the problems is the fact that we have so much open borders here in California. So as a governor of California, one of the very first things that I will do is work with Assemblywoman District 71, Mrs. Sanchez. She is putting some legislative together to actually get rid of the sanctuary state here in California. So we're going to end the sanctuary state for California, which we need to do. After we do that, the second part that I will go for is the educational department. We have 1,500 employees here in California working in the education department. Our standards every day are getting lower and lower. And on top of that, we are indoctrinating our kids and preparing them for a market that is not appropriate for the kids. So definitely hold the educational department and they're entirely accountable for it. And the last part is to hold not only the criminals that actually perpetrate those crimes, but actually the buyer. Because we know that there is a supply and demand. We need to keep both ends accountable for their actions. So I will definitely make sure that we expose the people who are purchasing that type of business.
Thank you, Greta. Leo Zaki.
The problem is enormous, without question. And yes, there is a lot of depravity going on in this country. I mean, we've become so desensitized with the world around us. It's sad. I mean, the media is pushing all these horrible things that people are being exposed to at young ages. I mean, the fact that I can go into an airport bathroom and see a sign, you know, to let people know what they can do about if you notice sex trafficking. This is the America we live in today. We need people to get God back into their life. That's a very Preach. Big one, for sure. And what I'm doing right now is I actually have a radio and TV broadcast on Salem called America Matters. I interview all sorts of people. I've interviewed people who have made documentaries on the subject, people who have actually experienced being sex trafficked themselves and exposing their stories to the world to help educate people on what's going on. And education on the subject it's really paramount. I mean, it can be happening all around us and we might be oblivious to it. And it's about learning what these are and making sure that we become aware of our surroundings so we can identify it when it's happening. And absolutely, the border is one of the, if not the biggest reason that this is occurring here in this country right now. I mean, yes, we got drugs, but the human life trafficking, and it's in this country. It's a disgrace. And we're Republicans, the party that ended slavery here in America. This is still happening. There is sex slavery today, alive and well in this country. We have to get strict on this stuff. We have to make sure our borders are locked tight. And anybody that's involved in this, and you know, there's a lot of, it's rings, it's organized crime that's mostly perpetrating this. So when organized crime is being in the situation, if you're part of an organized crime syndicate, you need to face serious jail time. No one-off offenses. You're getting serious, throw them under the prison sort of situation. Same thing with the cartels. I mean, these people should be labeled as terrorists, which Donald Trump has done with at least a couple of them. We need more of that.
Excellent, Leo Zaki. And Jim Athens.
Thank you.
Hold it close.
I'm sorry, okay. So, you know, I think one of the biggest drivers of this corruption that's going on in this country is illegal immigration. Can we please be honest? A lot of these actors are, do you remember Donald Trump going down the golden staircase and said they're murderers, they're rapists, and the country was ignited, you know, because can we be honest? We've let a lot of people in here that are not good people. And then, so it's changed the climate. Our climate has changed. We got to get the bad guys out. Got to get the bad guys out. And then secondarily, we need to deal with the things that have caused a moral decline.
Thank you, Jim. Let's encourage them, guys. They're doing a great job. Yes? Yes. All right. Let's continue. Ryan Tillman.
Thank you. When I became a police officer, it was just shortly after they passed Prop 47. And when Prop 47 was passed, it reduced all the violent crimes and made it misdemeanors. So what criminals start doing is they start recognizing that they can get away with stuff, and so they started committing more crimes. So recently, as of last year, thanks to the courtesy to you voters, we passed Prop 36 that made crime, crime again. So what we have to do is we have to make an example of people that are committing these sexual crimes against kids. One of the greatest things I see right now on TV is when our current presidential administration is taking care of a lot of these cartels, blowing up boats and stuff like that, because it sets the tone. It sets the tone. I am somebody that fully believes in redemption. I have a lot of friends that have made mistakes, but they have come back. And as believers in Christ, we should believe in redemption. But I also believe in making examples of people. Number two, we have to bring back the power to our parents in education. We have to get back to going to history, English, math, and the basics, and get away from pushing these cultural agendas on these kids. Because what starts to happen is we start to groom people in order to make it okay for them to do these crimes. So if I'm governor, one of the first things I'm going to do is, number one, make it strict. We're going to make crime again, and I'm going to be tough on crime. Number two, we're going to work with our current presidential administration to make examples of people that want to sex traffic kids. I have a young 7-year-old daughter, and I can't even imagine a young man going into the bathroom while she's in there. It's unacceptable. It's common sense. So we have to make common sense again, and we have to go back and making people punishing them for doing these sexual crimes. Let's close down our borders. There's a way to do it the right way. It's okay for people to come here, but we're going to make sure you go through the process, do it the right way. And that's going to be one of the first ways we cut down on a lot of these sex crimes that are plaguing the state of California.
Ryan Tillman. All right, fantastic. We are up with Kobe.
What I'm doing right now to combat...
Let's hear it, buddy.
...child sex trafficking is when I'm sitting on this stage, because I cannot think of being in a more powerful position than being governor of California to fight child trafficking. Some of you may or may not have known this, but the California Highway Patrol are actually the California State Police, and they have unlimited jurisdiction within the state of California. They can go into any state. They can go into Figueroa, where there's tons of child trafficking in downtown LA. I want to use undercover guys, and I want to bust these rings. Let me be crystal clear about something. I am not opposed to the death penalty for child trafficking. These people are destroying people's lives. And when you destroy somebody psychologically, the fact that they're still alive physically doesn't mean that you're not a murderer and a killer. And when we are working toward these things, we have to prosecute everybody. I don't care what elected position you held, how big and important you think you are, I will hammer you to the maximum extent of the law. And California should be the absolute worst possible place in the world to buy or sell in human trafficking. As far as some of the tactical stuff, in El Paso, Texas, they have scanners at the borders that scan the entirety of the truck. I would like to have scanners like that in California. They can also catch drugs as well. And if somebody is smuggling people in or smuggling people out, I want to catch them and I want to nail them and I want to turn those people inside out. That's why I'm one of the reasons why I'm running for governor of California. Thank you.
Kobe Markham. Last but not least, Leo Naranjo.
Thank you very much, everybody, and the opportunity to answer this question. Really quick, how many people here have ever been in the military? How many people here have kids? How many people here have grandchildren? I've got 4 of my own. And let me tell you, as a parent, I don't know how the hell y'all do it. I graduated in 1980, and I don't know how y'all do it, to be able to send your kids to school and trust that if you sent Billy over there, he comes back to you as Billy. To trust that if it's Sally that went to school, she's back to you as Sally. I'm a union member when I was in the county service for 9 out of my 11 years. I've been in the military. So what I'm about to tell you is not just platitudes. It's not promises. You're not going to hear me use that word. It's not guarantees. You're not going to hear me use that word either. It's going to be action. For those kids that go to school, that need to go to school, their job is to learn and get an education. For those teachers in the union, if there are any here present watching or you have friends, let me make it very crystal clear to you as a former union member. Your job is to teach, not indoctrinate. If you don't understand the difference, you're going to be unemployed. And for those of you who don't think that I can cut the mustard or I don't have the strength, here's what I would say to the union folks. Grab your union rep because we're going to have a talk and you're not going to win it. For those people right now who don't understand the difference of where boys need to be and where girls need to be, let me make it very clear. This is the boys' side. This is the girls' side. If you want a transgender side, we'll make one. If you want a transgender sports, we'll have one. But you're not going to keep commingling and forcing each and every one of you to accept what is not the norm. What have I done in this state running as a candidate? I was starting this as an exploratory candidate. I've reached out to the school down in Riverside. I've reached out to the school down in Temecula. I've reached out to those parents who are forming groups to challenge the stupidity of trying to get a lawyer to figure out the difference between a young boy and a young girl.
Thank you, Leo Naranjo. That, my friends, is the final fourth question. I'm going to come back over to you right now. All right. Did they do a fantastic job? Did we get everybody? We got everybody? Those were four complete questions. Now, Lara, Doug, yes. I think it's time to take them into... How many questions did we just do?
We did our four, baby.
We did our four. Yeah, so you know where we go now. In the media room, baby! Are you guys ready? All right, here's what we're going to do. Lara, I'm going to grab your mic. I'm going to have you come forward. Doug, and let's lead these candidates into the media room.